Celebrating the connection with our pets. This is Animal Radio, featuring your dream team, veterinarian Dr. Debbie White and groomer Joey Villani. And here are your hosts, Hal Abrams and Judy Francis.
Welcome, my friend. Big show for you today. It always is a big show. Thank you so much, Judy, for making it the big, big shoe.
You're welcome.
Pet insurance. I know you're scratching your head. Do I have it? Should I have it? Well, that's what I'm doing. Maybe you already have it. Maybe you've already made up your mind on pet insurance. But today, Doc Halligan from the Lucy Pet Foundation will be joining us, and she'll tell us all about pet insurance from her angle, which is as a veterinarian, whether or not you should have it, and what is it good for? You know, I always thought maybe I should just sock a little away in an interest-bearing savings account. Some of us are disciplined to do this. Some of us aren't.
And we are you?
No, not really.
Yeah, me neither.
But it sounded good, didn't it?
Yeah.
Joey, what's on the docket for you today?
Well, we're going to talk about the proper way of removing ticks off of your pet.
Can't you just grab them with your fingers?
Yeah, I have. You know what? Depending on how you pull them out, you don't want to leave anything behind, but we'll talk about that.
That's on the way right here with Joey Villani on Animal Radio. And Lori Brooks in the newsroom, what are you working on?
Well, you know, there's lots of offices these days where you can take your pet to work every day. It's usually dogs, right?
Yep.
Now we're finding out about some rather unusual pets that want their equal time in the office. And we'll tell you what more of those unusual animals are coming up.
Oh, I can't wait. I'm engaged. But let's go to the phones first. For Dr. Debbie, we have Debbie, Dueling Debbies. Hey, Debbie, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. How can we help you today?
Well, my husband and I are having a friendly debate. Over.
I don't do marital counseling. That's where I draw the line.
Oh, well, I'm going to have to hang up. The dogs, we have two little Shih Tzus, and my husband thinks it's okay to give them, meat bones. And mm-hmm. I totally disagree because they splinter. Even the rawhide has me worried, even though they eat these chicken strips at night. I'm not quite sure if there's rawhide in it. That's like their bedtime treat. But I'm beginning not to trust anything, with the China stuff going on and all that. So, you know, what is the answer to this?
Well, what I will tell you is there really is no safe chew item for dogs, meaning there's nothing that is perfect. There's always going to be some type of inherent risk when we offer a chew item for a dog. Mm-hmm. And veterinary dentists will tell you that anything that if you took the item and smack it on your knee, if it hurts you, it could hurt your dog's teeth. And that is actually, when we talk about teeth, the real fact is that bones, in many cases, will lead to fracture of the teeth, where the part of the enamel can actually crack off and will have a broken tooth. So, yeah, it may clean the teeth, but if you have to have a root canal or to repair a damaged tooth or to extract a tooth that's already been damaged to a severe degree.
Or they'll have a loose tooth that's very clean.
Yes.
Yeah.
So they're really, and so that's kind of the big argument with bones. And there's a lot of folks that will say cooked bones versus raw bones, one's better versus the other. When it comes to this tooth injury, it really doesn't matter. Cooking actually can increase the risk that a bone might splinter.
Uh-huh.
But in general, I'm not a fan of feeding bones of any sort to my animals.
Right.
So the next step down that you can look at, as you mentioned, raw hides. For a certain pet, those two could have the same kind of problems. We can run into where it can cause injury to the teeth. If you have like the little strips or the little knotted rawhides, they can get sloppy and they can actually get pieces of those where they choke on them.
Uh-huh.
So that can be a risk. The other thing with rawhides,
the intestine.
They can, yeah. If they get a large enough piece and they don't have and they don't digest it well, it definitely can. So that is a risk. The other thing, just I used to have with my dogs, my Labradors, they had to have something to chew on. So I gave them the compressed rawhide, which is not the kind where they chop the rawhide into cute little shapes and they press it with green color or red color for the holidays. Mm-hmm. But it's a very firm, heavy duty rawhide product that's compressed under high pressure. Those I do sometimes recommend for a dog that is really destructive, chews things, and we have to offer something. But there's still the risk. You know, you can still get a piece of that where at the end of it, where they can choke on that. So you really have to use these kind of things with supervision. The other thing some dogs will have will be if they have like a food allergy. A food sensitivity, you know, any of these are meat products, so that can definitely cause some problems, or even just an osmotic diarrhea where, because they have a lot of salt in the curing in them, so that a lot of dogs will have just mucousy poops, you know, the day after.
Yeah, these are kind of bendy, you know, no special shape to them at all. They get, you know, one before bedtime, that's like their big deal. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they chew it very slow because our one Shih Tzu barely has any teeth. Mm-hmm. But the other one, but they love them. And, you know, if I was to hit my leg with it, you know, they're soft. I mean, but mm-hmm. not real soft, but you know what I mean? They bend.
Mm-hmm.
I worry more about this China made stuff and these dogs dying.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you get to the point, you don't know what to do.
Right. So I think a lot of it, we have to look at the size of the dog, the chewing desire, and are we looking for something for offering dental care or offering entertainment? Because a lot of times the dental care, the best thing we can do is to brush our dog's teeth. That's the number one thing we can do. From there, if we're looking for an edible alternative for dogs, even with those soft little chews, the little rawhide chews, the little flavored things, if they get a piece of that, they can still have a choking hazard with that. So you still have to observe them and really supervise them with that.
Okay.
I will tell you that for my large bouillet, I do use the large like Nylabone type products. I always buy the U.S. made ones. But knowing that, there's the risk that they can break their teeth because these suckers are hard.
My dogs won't have anything to do with them.
Yeah. So that's where you have to find it. For small dogs like that, you know, you don't necessarily have to pull out something really heavy duty. You may have some other kind of mid-range. And even using things like some of the different Kong products where you can put squeezy cheese in there or peanut butter and freeze it. It gives them something to do. They can lick, they can chew. And as long as their jaw force isn't so strong that they're going to eat pieces of the rubber, that's a great entertainment for some dogs. It's the folks with those Rottweilers and the, you know, the Great Danes that are really struggling to find something that's a viable chew option because they will destroy just about everything.
Yeah. Well, thank you. That helps. And I guess I'll stay married.
Oh, good. Good. So we didn't really answer the argument who's right here, though, did we?
Well, you know, it's just I've just never I just don't like the bone theory. I used to give my big dogs the knuckle bones, you know, like the real big ones. But we've got these little guys now, and I just don't do it. And
like I can tell you, I've had a household with two Labradors, a client that I saw, and both dogs, their upper fourth premolar, which is the large, what we call the carnassial tooth, both dogs chewed on knuckle bones, and they both broke all of their carnassial teeth, so we had to extract four teeth between the two dogs. It's a big tooth to lose, so yeah, it's not fun.
Sometimes you can't win.
Yeah.
I appreciate your call today, Debbie. Hi, Glee.
Hi, Hal. How are you?
Good. How are you doing today?
Good.
How can we help you? Dr. Debbie's right here.
Now, my boyfriend is going to try to get my bird. They are learning to talk, but we cannot understand what they're trying to say.
Okay.
And if you could tell me a little bit what they're trying to say. I know they say pretty bird, and that's it. I'll have to put you on speakerphone, okay?
Okay.
Okay, so we're trying to decipher what your birds are trying to say.
Yeah,
okay.
And I can't decipher it all because this is about the time of evening they get really talkative.
Okay.
And they was just a little bit.
Okay.
Okay.
We're
just
ready.
Further talk to them.
Okay.
Let me see if I can get... They might. Their names are Chris and Katrina.
Chris and Katrina. Okay.
Okay. Well, you go in there and talk to them. Chris, come here. Talk to me. Chris.
Hey, Chris. Katrina. Chris and Katrina. Hello. Hello. Hello.
They're being their stubborn self.
Like a little kid.
I guess so.
Yeah.
They are. Let me take that.
Yeah. Oh, I heard him whistle.
Yeah.
Are you showing them a picture of me?
I don't know. I don't know. They really like my boyfriend. And he can get them to go on. And they've been doing this thing like they're laughing.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
We have no idea.
They're opening up their jaw like to talk and don't do nothing.
Did you hear what he's saying?
No, no. Can you tell us what he's saying?
No, he said he can't tell what they're saying.
Okay, well, are they watching a lot of TV?
All right. Well, Glee, you know, as far as translating what they're saying might be hard to do, but we know that birds try to mimic sounds that they're in their environment. So, especially if we're teaching a bird to talk, we try to find sounds that are appealing to them. So, you know, there's probably something either in your voice or in your boyfriend's voice, in different words that have been said that they've heard that they will try to repeat. Now, it becomes a little challenging. I'm assuming these two birds are together.
Yeah. And he don't really like her too well either.
Who doesn't like her?
Chris doesn't really like Katrina that well because he will pick at her.
Oh,
well, they don't get along.
Okay,
huh?
Well, that happens, you know. For birds to be good talkers, a lot of times we have better success when a bird is housed alone. And part of the reason is the talking behavior is kind of a pair behavior. So it's kind of something that birds would do together as mates. So if we have a single bird in a home, sometimes, you know, when we spend that extra efforts to getting that bird to talk, we'll have better success than if we have multiple birds within one enclosure. Now, and every bird's different. Some will talk more readily, especially the boys. The boys tend to be better talkers with cockatiels. So I don't know that I'll be able to be the cockatiel translator here, but I would definitely look to see when you're speaking to your birds, if there's certain tones that you're using, certain words that you're saying, if you see them showing interest, moving their mouth, or starting to make sounds, keep repeating those words. But as far as to try to figure out what they're saying after the fact, it's a little hard. It's a little bit hard to go backwards, but watch their behaviors, and if there's something they're finding appealing and showing interest in, then keep saying those words, and then we'd focus on repeating that. So hopefully they're good words, and we're not using any swear words or anything bad in that way.
And call us when they want to talk again. And
if I may have to record them.
Yeah, if you can record it, we'd love to hear what they sound like. And of course, if you can get them to say, "We love Animal Radio," there's prizes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, we'd be all over that, yes.
Thanks for your call, Glee.
Do you have a home that you don't want anymore? We can buy it from you within 24 hours, any home, size, or condition. For over 20 years, we've been buying homes for cash and helping homeowners sell their homes immediately with no listings or strangers walking through your home. Are you moving? Did you lose your job? Going through a divorce? Whatever the reason, if you're in a bind and you know that you need to sell your house fast, call the expert team at I Need to Sell My House Fast. We'll make you a serious cash offer to buy your home in 24 hours and let you walk away from it. No listing, no waiting. Sell any home, any size, any condition, now. Call the expert team at I Need to Sell My House Fast. Make this free call now.
800-478-6084. 800-478-6084. 800-478-6084. That's 800-478-6084.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Call the Dream Team now with the free Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
Let's go to line. Have we even given line 6 any attention today whatsoever?
I didn't know we had a line 6.
Oh.
That's why.
That's probably why.
Yeah, let's go to line
3.
Hey,
Dana, are you there?
Yes.
We had no idea this line existed and that you were here. How can we help you?
Well, we have he's probably 8-9 years old now, a big black shelter rescue cat, and I think he was abused as an infant and probably abandoned for a while. The shelter couldn't get rid of him for the longest time until we took him in under our wing. He used to bite, but we broke him of that. He's been getting along fine with our other, you know, rescue cats for the longest time. We've had 2 or 3 that have come and gone. But just recently, my daughter had to bring her cat here to live. Well, it was about 6 months ago. The cat's a year old this month. And when he first came here 6 months ago, he was just full of all kind of vim and vigor, and he was running all around and playing and having a ball. And the black cat was tolerating him, and he wasn't happy, but he was tolerating him. Now he just abuses him terrible, chases him, he hides all day long. He doesn't dare come out. Mm-hmm. And we don't know what to do with the black cat.
Okay. So I have a couple quick questions for you, because there's a lot that goes into kitty dynamics when we're talking behavior. So you said both of these guys are male, and they're both neutered, correct?
Both neutered, yes.
Now, are there other cats or dogs in the home?
Yes, there's one other cat. Her name is Shadow. She's another rescue cat. She came just a little bit before Bear. She's female.
And,
okay. Neutered also, okay. And she doesn't care one way or the other about anything. You know, cats can come and cats can go, and people can visit, and she's just here.
Okay. So wait a minute. I need to know a little bit more. When the younger kitten, when that one before an attack happens, what is that cat doing?
Hiding.
Hiding. Okay. And then
the black cat will hunt him down, and then the kitten gets scared, and he runs to go upstairs and hide, and the black cat attacks him and chases him and beats him up.
Okay. And an attack is basically him chasing him. Is there any actually injuries, any bites that have occurred as a result of this, or it's more the chase that's happening?
I haven't noticed any bites. Have you, Mary?
No.
No, okay. This is just chasing and scratching and pulling a little hair here and there.
Okay. So the challenge is that with kitties, there's a lot of different reasons why we will have inter-cat aggression issues. And with you, I think we've got a lot more to get into that I might not be able to delve into every aspect of, but in general, when we talk about cats in the house that aren't getting along, you know, they can have fights over territory. It might be because of a social hierarchy. It actually can even be just practicing play behaviors and predatory behaviors. And sometimes it's out of fear. So in this situation, what, at least to simplify things, there's a couple steps that I would definitely do for you. The first thing is on the aggressor kitty, we need to give the little guy a forewarning. So I usually recommend putting a bell collar on the aggressor cat, and that at least gives the other guy a little bit of warning here. Some other ways that you can get the older guy more adjusted to accepting the young guy would be to share litter boxes or resources, or even sometimes I'll just take towels and rub the cat scent and then take the other cat and rub that other cat scent on it. And it's a way to try to help them kind of become more tolerant of at least the sense of smell of that other kitty in the area. But with these kind of dynamics, there's a lot of things that we're going to have to look at in the environment. And for a three-cat household, we need to be making sure you've got ample resources. So
yeah, four litter boxes, and they've all kind of, they all use each other's. You know, if you watch them, they've been doing that for the whole 6 months.
Good. And it's even more than the litter boxes. So a resource for a cat can be a food water bowl. It could be a perching spot. It can be a human. So for some cats, especially those that are really kind of just intimidated by a bully cat, they may be afraid to even seek out those resources. Even if you're not seeing attacks occurring, there's nonverbal communication that these kitties are having. And sometimes it can even be the fearful kitty, just their bodily motions. So the ears going back, they're crouching down, they're looking fearful, and that can actually even trigger an attack. They're acting scared. You wouldn't think that would cause a problem, but it actually can. So a cat that is more dominant may actually pounce on that. So for my recommendation, I'm going to suggest to keep these guys separated unless we can really supervise them, work on adding these resources, put that cat bell on, and then you know, you may need to talk to your veterinarian about potentially medicating the adult cat. The first thing I would do is certainly do a good thorough exam, make sure there's nothing, anything physically wrong that might be making him more cranky about the youngster. But sometimes the aggressor will medicate them with a type of an antidepressant, behavior modifying drug, and that can help to kind of decrease some of their tendency to attack. And then really, really, really making sure that we're also being aware of the other cat. So even though your third cat's not in on the mix of things, you know, there's the more personalities in the household you add with cats, the more chance we're going to run into these problems. So also be wary of that kitty and make sure that she's doing okay.
She can lay down and sleep next to either one of them, and she's just as docile and quiet and, you know.
But what we always got to remember is cats are individuals, and I always go back to my old college roommates, and some of us got along really super well, and you know, some of us didn't, or maybe there was one that just kind of irked everybody. So cats have to go through these same kind of personality situations, and they have to deal with that. So some are more prone to being protective or territorial of areas, and others could care less and share the house and all the goods. And the other thing is making sure we're scheduling your adult meal with a little bit of extra playtime. So we might get him out and, you know, play with the fishing pole toys, get some of the interactive frolly cat toys going, something to expend energy and those predatory responses that, you know, maybe he's directing at the other cat, and we can give him an outlet to kind of burn up some of that energy and that drive. It's an outlet. It may help save your other kitty from having the tendency of getting pounced upon. So just keep that in mind and you know, let us know how that goes.
How'd you like to eliminate your expensive cable bill forever or get new satellite internet where cable can't go? Well, now you can have affordable satellite internet service for a few dollars a day. All you need is a mini satellite installed, and you can have unlimited internet connections wirelessly in your home or office. And no cable boxes means unlimited connections and no clutter. You can surf the internet or stream any of your favorite television services with no cable. And the best part is, satellite internet service costs only a few dollars a day for your entire home. Yes, fast internet to surf or stream television for a few bucks a day. Call now for free details and learn how to drop your expensive cable bill.
800-696-2871. 800-696-2871. 800-696-2871. That's 800-696-2871.
This is an Animal Radio News Update.
Hi, I'm Lori Brooks. If your dog likes to swim, well, it's probably best to make sure he or she only swims in the pool this summer. Like a lot of other states, the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency is asking swimmers and pet owners to be aware of those algae-ridden lakes and foul-smelling water after toxins from the blue-green algae blooms have killed some dogs. The poisonous blooms, if you don't know, typically look like a green pea soup. The clusters often have really a very strong stench that smells kind of like cow manure. Well, animals, by the way, too, are at far greater risk than humans, they say, to be harmed by the algae blooms because they tend to wade in the shoreline areas, and that's where the algae usually accumulates more heavily, and animals aren't really deterred by the bad smell. One of the fun things about outdoor cookouts, there's almost always pets on the guest list. But a lot of what's on the menu at a cookout can be bad for our pets. On the list of the 10 worst cookout foods for Fido and felines, well, at number one is corn on the cob, ribs, chicken wings, and other bones, because they all create a choking hazard or possible obstruction for your pet. Also on the list, hot dogs. Seems they're not the healthiest for you or for your pet. Onions are also on that list, along with avocados, chocolate, alcoholic beverages, chips, and pretzels. Those last two because of the high sodium content. Also grapes on the list. As Take Your Dog to Work Day becomes the everyday norm in many offices around the world, owners of less common pets have begun to demand equality. So if dogs are welcome at work, then other people are kind of saying, hey, my feathered, furry, winged, or scaly companion should be allowed to come to the office too. Though everybody is not in total agreement on this. All around the world, there's just about every kind of workplace with nearly every kind of pet. And we've all heard about the benefits of having pets in the workplace. So whether it's a pig, a parakeet, a butterfly, or a snake, yes, some of these workplaces are allowing snakes, like the Seattle headquarters of Amazon.com. They say about 8% of U.S. companies now allow pets in offices and workplaces, and the practice seems to be especially prevalent among tech firms. I'm Lori Brooks. Get more breaking animal news anytime at AnimalRadio.com.
This has been an Animal Radio News Update. Get more at AnimalRadio.com.
Well, you lucky dog, don't forget you can get your fix of Animal Radio anytime you want with the Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android. It's made possible by fear-free happy homes, helping your pets live their happiest, healthiest, fullest lives at home, at the vet, and everywhere in between. Visit them at fearfreehappyhomes.com. And thanks, Fear Free, for underwriting Animal Radio.
Dogs or cats, horse or emu, animals are people too.
A British cat's bad behavior has forced his owner to post a sign that reads, "Warning, dangerous cat has attacked 13 people in the last 6 years." And Hogbin says 12-year-old Blackie is as gentle as a kitten, often curling up in her lap for a nap. But he turns into a different cat when he sees a man in uniform. So far, 5 postmen, 1 police officer, 5 paperboys, a garbage man, and a construction worker have been attacked by Blackie. Blackie was known for chasing his victims down the street, but even now that he's an indoor cat, his behavior hasn't changed. Anne recently came home to find blood on her letterbox after Blackie attacked the mailman's hand as he pushed the letters in. Blackie no longer has access to the front door. I'm Britt Savage for Animal Radio.
Animals are people too. Animal Radio.
You're listening to Animal Radio. If you missed any part of today's show, visit us at animalradio.com or download the Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
It's Animal Radio, celebrating our connection with your pets. We'll go back to the phones in just a couple of seconds here, but I want to visit with Pete Copalillo. Copalillo? Copalillo.
Copalillo.
I guess it depends. If you're on the West Coast, it's Copalillo. If you're on the East Coast. Hey, Pete.
Welcome. How are you?
I have christened you like I christen everybody. I slaughter their names. Welcome to the show.
You're certainly not the first. Thank you for having me.
You are the executive director at an organization called Dogs for Conservation, which is the leading conservation detection dog organization. Now, I got to start out there. What is that?
Well, we're actually called Working Dogs for Conservation. And, conservation detection dogs do all kinds of work. In service of wildlife or saving wild places or all kinds of natural resource work. So back in the day, the field started by finding a lot of scats or poop, a lot of grizzly bear work, wolf, lynx, that kind of thing, which is it makes perfect sense because sure. Those animals are carnivores and they run around the landscape leaving little signals for other carnivores. And here we have this carnivore that's been living us for tens of thousands of years, and they're good at finding them. And that field started about in the 90s. And nowadays we use dogs to find almost anything we want them to. So they find everything from, we still do a lot of scat work, but they do a lot of law enforcement work for wildlife products that are smuggled. They help us find invasive species like invasive plants.
Really?
They can find them when they're little before they flower because they're using their noses, not their eyes, like we do. And or even invasive invertebrates like zebra and quagga mussels. You guys may know in California and other parts of the country they've invaded. And also things like the emerald ash borer. The dogs can detect the adult beetles or their larvae or their eggs as well. So they'll find just about anything we ask them to and anything that's important for conservation.
Where do these dogs come from? And are there certain dogs that are better than other dogs?
Yeah, that's a good question. Well, all dogs are physiologically capable of doing the work. Dogs have a fabulous olfactory system. They're thousands or even millions of times more sensitive than we are. So with the exception of a few of the brachycephalic breeds, you know, like a bulldog with a sort of pushed-in face, pretty much all dogs are capable of it. What we select for is their drive, their desire to work. We look for animals that are high energy, high drive, and that are toy-obsessed. And the reason for the toy obsession is that's their reward, that's their paycheck. And so, you know, that's what that combination of things, the toy reward and drive means they'll work all day long looking for whatever we've trained them to look for, and they love doing the work. So it's a set of behavioral characteristics that we look for, you know, more than the physiological ones.
Generally, those are the traits that make dogs unsuitable for adoption. You know,
that's exactly right. That's yeah. exactly right. So in the wake of 9/11 and with the Iraq and Afghanistan wars, there was a global shortage on detection dogs because so many more bred dogs were going for security and whatnot. We had always sourced our dogs from both either breeders or shelters or, you know, career change dogs. So we decided when the prices for dogs were going up and up and up and we were seeing more dubious breeders entering the field because there was so much demand and high prices, some dogs that were not necessarily suitable to be bred were being bred. And so we doubled down and decided that what we really needed to do was to find our dogs, all of them, from shelters. And in the early days, that was easy because we knew a lot of shelters. We're based here in Montana, and we knew the shelters around, and it was pretty straightforward. But as we've grown and as the field has grown, that's become a little bit more difficult. And at the same time, we've been recognizing how many really great, really talented dogs there are in shelters that are being put down. Because like you said, the same characteristics that we're looking for are the ones that make them less suitable as family pets. So the best example of that is Wicket. She is now the world's most accomplished conservation detection dog. She's trained on 26 scents. She's worked in Asia. She's worked in Africa. She worked all over North America. She's an amazing dog. And when Amy Hurt, one of the founders of the organization, went to the shelter in Anaconda, Montana, of all places, and said, "I want to see that black dog," from the website, the shelter director said, "I don't think you want to see that dog. That dog's crazy."
Oh, no.
And now, famously, Amy said, "Well, she might be the right kind of crazy." And sure enough, she was.
What's the largest dog and smallest dog breeds that you have?
Oh, let's see. Pepin is our largest. He, at times, is he's in his 80s, 80 pounds. He's a Belgian Malinois, and Belgian Malinois are now very common police military dogs. It's funny because a lot of people expect him to be big and scary because Malinois generally are. So the military operation that went after Bin Laden, they had a Malinois on that team. But Pepin is an absolute sweetheart. We have photographs of him with 100 school kids around him in Myanmar, you know, just petting him and loving him. And so he's just a lover. Mm-hmm. So he's our biggest. And then the smallest is Busco, who's a border collie. She hovers right around 40 pounds.
Oh, so you don't have any little, like, chihuahuas or anything running around? Well, they're good for digging, like Jack Russell's digging in holes.
Sure. No, you're exactly right. And USDA, APHIS, and some of the agencies or airport dogs, they will often use smaller ones because they want them, you know, to be able to lift them up on the, you know, the conveyor belt, uh-huh, and things like that.
It is very cool. I didn't even know it existed till today. I learned so much on this show. Yeah. Pete Copalillo joining us. He's the Executive Director of Working Dogs for Conservation. You can learn more over at the website at wd4c.org. And, of course, we'll put links to everything you've heard on today's show over at animalradio.com. Pete, thank you so much for sharing with us today.
Thanks for having me.
Do you have a home that you don't want anymore? We can buy it from you within 24 hours, any home, size, or condition. For over 20 years, we've been buying homes for cash and helping homeowners sell their homes immediately with no listings or strangers walking through your home. Are you moving? Did you lose your job? Going through a divorce? Whatever the reason, if you're in a bind and you know that you need to sell your house fast, call the expert team at I Need to Sell My House Fast. We'll make you a serious cash offer to buy your home in 24 hours and let you walk away from it. No listing, no waiting. Sell any home, any size, any condition, now. Call the expert team at I Need to Sell My House Fast. Make this free call now.
800-478-6084. 800-478-6084. 800-478-6084. That's 800-478-6084.
Hi, this is Bob Barker on Animal Radio, reminding you to help control the pet population. Have your pets spayed or neutered.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Find us at animalradio.com. Log on, learn more.
It's Animal Radio. Don't forget, you can ask your questions directly from the Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android. A great app to have now. It'll tell you about all the latest recalls. There have been several this week. All the news that is important for you and your pet, you'll get that directly from the Animal Radio app, as well as the ability to ask your questions of the entire Dream Team. Hi, Julie. How are you?
Hi, I'm fine.
Where are you today?
I'm in Woodland Hills, California.
Lovely. Are you listening on coast?
On coast.
Okay. How can we help you today?
Well, I have a silky terrier, and sweet little guy, but he's 7 years old, and he has developed he scratches and he chews and he's pulled out some of his hair. Some of his hair is like broken off, and he's such a pretty little guy because I keep his hair long.
And the true silky look then, huh?
Yeah, yeah. And I've gone over him, you know, with a flea comb. So I'm always on top of any flea problem, which he really doesn't seem to have. And his skin is not dry. He doesn't seem to have any dry skin at all. And I don't know what this scratching and chewing is. I mean, he's been
okay,
doing.
Are there certain areas on his body where he's chewing?
No, not really. I mean, during the summertime, I mean, he did have some flea bites, but I mean, there's no flea bites on him now. Yeah, I noticed on his stomach. But I just, you know, I really keep on top of looking for fleas on him. And I give him a bath. I bathe him like once a week.
Okay. And as far as, are you currently using a flea product?
No, I'm not.
Okay. Because it would definitely, even though you're not seeing them, I always like to make sure if we're in a flea environment and we have a pet that is scratching and having hair coat problems, indoors, fleas can live just fine. So I want to make sure that we're on more of a year-round protection, especially if we're having this kind of scratching, itching thing, because one little flea bite can last weeks.
Oh, really?
And so even if we're not having a huge burden of fleas, we could have a lot of the itch. So that would be one thing I'd make sure we're still very aggressive about that.
I've used that, like, Advantage and, you know, that stuff. And I don't know, it bothers me because when you put that on him, I mean, one time, I mean, that took my nail polish off my nails, and I'm just wondering what it's doing to him. And it's toxic chemicals really bother me.
Yeah, and I guess we have kind of the pros and cons of, you know, if we have fleas, we need to find some type of treatment for that we're comfortable with. Now, there are certain things you can use in the home. There are certain types of medications that can be given orally. And then there's the topical type medicine. So, you know, there's definitely different things, and I would talk to the veterinarians in your area what they are comfortable using, because, you know, if you're not comfortable using a topical product, there may be an alternative that is available to you. But beyond the fleas, you know, as far as itching in dogs, you know, we kind of always kind of lump a whole category of skin problems that are allergies. And sometimes pets can really have allergies, and sometimes they have infections and other problems there. But I would say that this would really warrant looking into things a bit more. You know, I could certainly recommend things like fatty acids or antihistamines to help with some mild itching, but this really would warrant, you know, a trip to your vet, make sure we don't have fleas, and then maybe talk about doing some sampling from our skin and see which direction we need to go, because there's really a lot that we can do in the dermatology world for dogs. If it's something nutritional we need to go towards and go towards a fatty acid or a zinc supplement, or if we need to...
his food, because I was feeding him that dog food.
Okay. And the truth is, with any kind of food change that we do for the purposes of presuming a food allergy, is we have to do it for a month to 2 months. We need to make sure there's nothing else besides, like, the chicken you're cooking, but even the little treats, the biscuits, anything that he might be ingesting will throw off that whole test of that food if he's getting even the slightest little nibble of other things along the way.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Call the Dream Team now with the free Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
Hi, it's Alan Cable. Well, my friend, it's time for another dog tip. You know, I was over at a neighbor's house. He's got two insecure, very shy, high-energy chihuahuas. They're afraid of everything. So I thought I'd talk to you about how to earn a dog's trust. It's a lot easier than it seems. Some breeds are more predisposed to being anxious and nervous and developing fear. Let's say you want to say hi to a nervous dog, or any dog for that matter. The biggest mistake I see people make is walking right up to a dog and bending down over the dog's head to pet him, towering above them. This is very threatening for dogs. You're just trying to say hello and pet the dog, but the dog is perceiving you as a threat, invading his space and dominating him by towering over. Add that to the fact that most people are kind of excited already when they approach a dog this way, and the dog feeds off that energy. So an insecure dog is not going to trust you when you approach this way, and will probably become more anxious and fearful. And a strong, powerful dog, well, anything could happen. He can interpret the approach as an invasion of his space, a threat, or just a nuisance, and feel the need to put you in your place. You might not notice the warning signs, and the next thing you know, he's nipping you. This is why it's so important when you meet a dog to let the dog approach you first. Make sure you tell your kids never to walk up to a strange dog, especially from behind. So what you do with a confident dog is just stand there, let him come up and sniff you. Don't try to pet him right away, though. Don't talk to him. Just let him sniff you. Give it a minute, and then pet him under his chin. Not above his head. Don't tower over him. Now, if it's a shy, scared dog, kneel down with your back to the dog and just stay there. Don't talk to him. Just kneel down, hang out. After a while, he'll come up and investigate you and sniff you. You might get a chance to pet him. You might not. Either way, this is the best way to get the trust of a dog that's afraid. You know, you're not towering above him. You're down on his level. You're not invading his space. He can come up to you whenever he pleases. Try not to make any sudden movements or move abruptly. Most dogs don't like it when you move too fast. It gets them anxious. Get more at animalradio.com.
Judy, in my hot little hands is the BasePaws Cat Kit, which includes the number one cat DNA test.
Oh, that's so exciting.
Soon as I opened this box, we started a journey to find out a little more about our cats.
I can't wait. You know, we have the two cats here in the studio, and I want to find out if they are true brothers.
Okay, here's the information we're going to learn. First of all, these guys are connected to the biggest feline genomic database in the world. So they'll trace your cat's origins and their breed type. And as you know, breed type influences their personality, their traits, and most importantly, their hereditary genetic health conditions.
And it will also give you a dental health score. And unfortunately, I know people don't think about their cat's teeth, but this will tell you if they're prone to any kind of dental disease before you can even see it.
So in just a couple of minutes, I'm going to open up this kit. I'm going to take out a swab. I'm going to swab the inside of our cat's mouth, and then I'm just going to send the sample right back to BasePaws, and they'll send us a report.
At Animal Radio, we've even worked out a special code for our listeners. If you go to BasePaws.com, that's base, B-A-S-E, pause, PAWS.com, and use the code Animal Radio, you can get $25 off.
The bottom line is, if you want to know more about your cats, visit them over at BasePaws.com today. BasePaws, better lives lived longer.
Celebrating the connection with our pets. This is Animal Radio, featuring your dream team, veterinarian Dr. Debbie White and groomer Joey Villani. And here are your hosts, Hal Abrams and Judy Francis.
Coming up this hour, we're going to talk pet insurance and whether or not you need
should
pet
you
insurance.
Or shouldn't you?
It's there's a big divide here in the studio. Actually, I sit on, it's not really a divide. I'm the only one that doesn't have insurance. Well, me and Lori, we don't have insurance, but everybody else has insurance.
We have too many animals.
Also,
I see the benefit of it all the time, though.
Of course. And because now there's more and more procedures that cost a lot more, too, huh?
So, Yeah. I think it opens up the availability for people to use that kind of technology that they might not normally be able to afford it.
We'll find out more about it in just a couple of minutes right here on Animal Radio. Joey Villani is going to be talking ticks, tick tock. He was going to tell you how to get those nasty ticks out of your pet without leaving any ticks inside them and how dangerous it can be. And I'm going to dispel the myth about the whole heating up a paperclip and
the cigarette and all that.
yeah, that's not a way to get rid of those ticks. Let's go to the phones first. And we have Tim, who I understand has two questions. Do we allow two questions?
I'm going to allow.
Of course.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll allow two questions. Hey, Tim, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate you taking two questions. first thing is, I've got a, he's supposed to be a miniature long-haired dachshund, but I don't think there's anything miniature about him. he weighs 15 pounds, so I think they at least sold me a lion as well as a dog. But anyway, when he drinks his water, he gets choked. I mean, he gags and sounds like he's going to throw up and just has a real rough time with it. So I was just wondering if there was anything that you knew could be causing that.
Mm-hmm. And is it only when he's drinking water or does he have problems with food?
No problems with food at all.
And is it pretty consistent that he does it most every time he's drinking?
It's pretty consistent, yeah. Not every time, but he does it a lot.
Yeah, and there are some dogs that we can see this where they start this gagging right after drinking. There's some concern that there could be a sensory nerve dysfunction. So basically, they're kind of not sensing things back in the back of the throat really well, and it actually is leading to them aspirating and choking on that water. So that's a possibility. It's a little challenging to determine that just from looking at a dog. So there is testing involved. However, there are pets that it's more than just that, and it's more than just them kind of coughing this up. And for some pets, they can actually develop some dysfunction with the laryngeal area, and basically where the muscles in the throat don't coordinate normally, and it allows food or water to actually kind of go down that wrong pipe. That's a little bit more advanced of a situation, and with those pets, we can see more labored breathing. They actually may have pneumonia. They may have a different breathing pattern at rest. So it doesn't quite sound like you're in that situation. So I guess the simple thing is that it might be something to look at and to do a little bit more investigation, maybe start with some x-rays of the neck area and maybe have a good anesthetic exam where the vet looks down the throat. Those might be some things to kind of get a little bit better comfort, whether it is something of concern or not. Now, there are some simple things that I would instruct you to maybe try at home to see if this helps to alleviate the symptoms. And if all you're left with is that just he kind of coughs and gags with water and it doesn't lead to anything more serious, then we may just need to try these things. And one would be to try elevating the food and water on a little feeding stand. And for some dogs, that's all it takes, is that just that elevation and little height can make a difference.
Okay.
The other thing you can try is to experiment a little bit and add, instead of offering just plain water, you can actually add the water to the food. If he eats kibble or even canned food, you can just add some of his drinking water to that. And because he'll be eating it, it may not cause that same reaction. And that way you kind of help to minimize some of the coughing and gagging he does at other times.
Okay.
But those might just be some little experiments you can try to see if that helps make a difference for him.
I'll try that, and he's got his annual checkup this week anyway, and that's why I wanted to talk to you, just to try to talk to the vet, too, when he goes to see him and maybe give him some ideas to look at also, sort of like a second opinion, I guess. So,
absolutely.
Okay, the second thing was, and this is gross, but how often should you express the anal glands?
Anal glands, it's one of our favorite topics in the vet world. The answer is as often as you need to. Does your guy have some problems where he's scooting his bottom or he has leakage of those glands?
Well, he doesn't leak and he doesn't scoot that much. He does occasionally, but he really bites at it a lot. And
okay.
I know it's
all
not
right.
Fleas. He doesn't have fleas. And I take him to one of the major chains to have him groomed once a month, and they said that that's one of the indications that his glands need to be expressed. So they always do it, and that's once a month, and I was just a little surprised that he may need it more than that.
That seems kind of often.
Well, you know, for dachshunds, once a month is actually a very common reality. More than that, I can't say that we don't occasionally have a pet we do more than once a month, but I try to avoid it if possible. Although, you know, I'll tell you, my little puppy, I'm down to like every 2 weeks for him because he actually starts leaking his gland material around the house. So I'm kind of with you there. I'm getting a little frustrated with these glands. But yeah, I would shoot for once a month if you can. But for the, you know, average pet, maybe non-dachshund, I'd say every 1 month to every 3 months. And how do you know if there's a problem? Yeah, if they're scooting, licking, biting at the bottom, or leaving lovely little stinky smells that smell like nasty tuna coming out of a can, to me that's a symptom that we need to get those.
What causes that? Because Ladybug doesn't deal with that, don't want to jinx it there, knock on wood, but why is it one dog has to have their anal glands expressed more than another dog?
You know, there's a lot of theories out there. Some folks think that it's related to the fiber content in the diet, so they'll try to bulk up their stools to make them not have problems. But, you know, it doesn't always work that way. There are some breeds we just tend to see more problems. Basset Hounds and Dachshunds are probably my number two breeds that we see frequent anal gland expressions that just need to be done for comfort and, you know, and for owners' happiness. and then, you know, just some dogs, we can see more problems if they have food allergies. They can have more symptoms of the anal glands. So, you know, some of those things we can kind of play with diet a little bit for some pets as well. And, you know, there's that occasional pet we will talk about taking these glands out. And, you know, I may be signing up boss for this surgery if I have to keep squeezing these glands every 7 to 14 days.
Wow.
So I'll keep you posted on that one.
I didn't realize you could have that done, so maybe that'll be a possibility.
Yeah, you can. And it's definitely, the surgery is not the first choice we have. Because if we can manage something without having to cut out a body part, we definitely would prefer it. But for the pets that have, you know, frequent infections, or we just have a lot of ongoing issues with these glands, surgery is, you know, definitely something to consider.
Hope that helps you, Tim.
I appreciate your help, and I enjoyed the call. Thank you.
I appreciate you listening to Animal Radio. You tell your friends about it, okay?
I will.
Okay. More listeners we can get, the better I can pay rent. Hey, I'm just telling you the way it is, okay? Let's pile on those listeners. And we have new listeners every week. Oh, were we done here?
Yes.
It's Animal Radio.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Call the Dream Team now with the free Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
Hey, folks, this is Jackson Galaxy. You're listening to Animal Radio. Please do everyone a favor, spay or neuter your animals today.
Hello, hello, hello. Well, it's good to be back on Animal Radio, your resident party animal, Vinny Petten, coming at you and loving every minute of the Animal Radio airwaves. One of the things that I love and admire the most about Animal Lover, it's going to be serious. I'm going to have a serious one today. I hope those of you who came here looking for laughs won't be bummed out by this, but it's the way that animal and pet lovers rally around the issues, and they're not afraid to sign petitions, to draw up petitions, and to do things of that nature. I really respect that. I really admire that. And that's why I'd like to bring one to the table right now to get a petition made up for and circulated and put a stop to something. And the people we'd be targeting right now are those who come up with merchandising for cat owners. The things that cat owners, it's bad enough the things that cat owners will buy and wear, but what's even worse is the stuff that these people come up with. Do you know, I was at the mall last night. I actually saw a woman walking my way. She must have been in her 40s, late 40s or so. She had on this glittery big baggy sweatshirt, and it had a picture of a cat on it wearing a cowboy hat, and it had a lasso, and it said cat a girl on it, like cat a girl. And I just looked at this and I thought, it's not this woman's fault that it's probably the worst stocking stuffer known to man that she got stuck with this probably glow in the dark cowboy cat sweatshirt. It's not her fault. It's not even her fault if she bought it for whatever reason. It's the merchandiser's fault. And why is it always cats? Another one I saw once, it was actually a really good looking girl too. She had on a shirt that said Sex and the Kitty. And there was a cat where Sarah Jessica Parker's Carrie Bradshaw was supposed to be. I don't even know what to make of this. Cat erotica. I don't know what it was. And she's like twirling in high heel shoes, and it's a cat, and it said Sex and the Kitty. And I know the merchandisers out there are thinking, hey, Vinny Penn, party animal, say whatever you want. We make a bundle of money on that stuff. But you're causing corneal abrasion, because there is such disbelief when people see other people wearing this that we rub our eyes so violently. You're causing corneal abrasion. And like I say, it's always the cat. It's just cats. You don't see like somebody who's got a huge aquarium at home wearing a shirt that says, I've got fish use. And big pictures of goldfish on his shirt making funny faces. You don't see that cool Harley dude who has a snake wearing a shirt that says, snake it or leave it. So let's get the petition up. That's actually a great tagline right there for a plumber. Let's get the petition made and out to the cat merchandising folks. I guess the best way to end this week's segment would be, cats all, folks.
Check out Animal Radio highlights, all the good stuff without the blah blah blah. Browse on over to animalradio.pet.
How'd you like to eliminate your expensive cable bill forever or get new satellite internet where cable can't go? Well, now you can have affordable satellite internet service for a few dollars a day. All you need is a mini satellite installed, and you can have unlimited internet connections wirelessly in your home or office. And no cable boxes means unlimited connections and no clutter. You can surf the internet or stream any of your favorite television services with no cable. And the best part is, satellite internet service costs only a few dollars a day for your entire home. Yes, fast internet to surf or stream television for a few bucks a day. Call now for free details and learn how to drop your expensive cable bill.
800-696-2871. 800-696-2871. 800-696-2871. That's 800-696-2871.
You're listening to Animal Radio. If you missed any part of today's show, visit us at animalradio.com or download the Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
It's Animal Radio. We're moments away from your news with Lori Brooks. What can we look forward to?
Well, coming up, I think it's a pretty impressive medical finding that we've learned about today. How children who are diabetics, because that's a real tough scene, how they benefit by having a pet.
Ooh. Well, I know anybody who's sick finds all kinds of benefits. Even healthy people find all kinds of benefits from animals. So,
yeah.
Right.
It's not a far stretch, but I'm going to stick around just for that. I'm intrigued.
It's a good one.
Hi, Kelly. How are you doing?
I'm doing just great. How are you today?
Good. What's going on with your pet today?
Actually, it's not nothing that's going on with my pet. It's some stuff that we've heard about. And I listened to you last week, and you talked about it a little bit. But Dynavite, it's got a website, dynavite.com. And my question was this, is we feed our dogs what is called Nature's Recipe. And we get it from PetSmart. Okay. And it's a very good dog food.
There's stuff. We use it here at the studios. It's good stuff.
Right.
It's a very reputable brand.
They say that the Dynavite is supposed to be really good. It gives insights and all this stuff. So does the Dynavite, for starters, does it work? Is it true what they say? Because it's pretty expensive. And does it take the place? I mean, can you actually feed your dogs, per se, junk, lower quality dog food if you're feeding them the Dynavite?
Okay, some good questions there, Kelly. And the first thing is, I'll be honest, I am not on the Dynavite bandwagon. I'm a little bit concerned about any product that makes such grand claims that it's going to cure allergies and all of these type of things.
Right.
So can you feed a bad food and make up for it with a supplement? No, you cannot. And just like with people, if you don't eat a good balanced diet, popping those vitamins every day does not make up for that. The same thing is true for our pets. So, you know, if you've got a good quality diet, I believe that that is the heart of the nutrition question here. And then, you know, there are supplements we'll sometimes add in. So I'm not opposed to trying a supplement for the benefit of, you know, fatty acid supplementation or maybe a pet that might have skin problems. We might look at some zinc supplements, things like that. So there may be pets that benefit from this, but I would definitely run away from any product that tells you that it's going to be a cure-all. And that's, you know, just my honest opinion with that. Have I used it on my own pets? No, but I feed them a good diet, and you know, they get their fatty acids every day, and you know, I try to stay on top of their medical problems in that way.
Okay, so then what you're really saying is that it's the fail-safe of all times is if it sounds too good, it's too good.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of goes like snake oil salesman there. And, you know, like I said, there are definitely some pets that may benefit from it, but, you know, the cost, the expense, and I just can't put my heart behind a product that really claims to cure something, such as allergies, which is really an immune system kind of wiring that individuals have. And, you know, you can't fix that with a supplement. We can work around it. We can try to modify the immune system and get around an allergy, but you know, there's really nothing that's going to cure an allergy related itch. So yeah, I'd be pretty cautious there. You know, if your pet's doing well and he's thriving on the diet, you know, then I wouldn't have any cause to go looking elsewhere there.
Hi, Michaela. How are you doing? Is it Michaela?
Michaela.
It sounds so much better when you say it. How are you doing, Michaela?
All right.
How can we help you?
Well, I have an 8-year-old Italian Greyhound who has mood swings.
Ah.
She can be fine, loving, cuddling, what have you, 1 minute, and then I'll use last night's episode as an example. I was cuddling with her and gave her a kiss and went to give her another kiss, and she turned right around and bit my nose. She didn't.
Did she actually break the skin?
No, she didn't. But she put her teeth right across the bridge of my nose.
Hey, that's close enough for me. I don't need to get any closer than that. Well, she's definitely sending us a signal. So were you holding her at this time when this was going on?
No, she was laying next to me.
And is this something that she's done throughout her life, or is that something just more recently?
It's more, I would say, within the last 3 or 4 years.
Well, I mean, the first thing I always like to do when we talk about an unexpected or an inappropriate bite, I guess there's never really an appropriate bite.
Like, not even a love bite, a little love bite?
It's not allowed in my book.
Okay.
At least not from dogs, we'll say.
Okay.
So as far as with what you're seeing right now, my feeling is that she has got a change in her boundaries. And while you're finding that this contact is fun and it's appropriate, she's taking those actions as a challenge. Uh-huh. And this is kind of the situation where I'm assuming she sleeps in the bed and she sleeps with you. Okay. So
that's where she was, too.
Okay, see, now there's some good and bad with that. The good is for most dogs, you know, they're a bed warmer at night, and, you know, it gives us a good time to kind of bond with our pets. For certain dogs, this can be a real problem because there's a blurring of the lines of, you know, how does this system work and who's in charge in this household? And for a dog that's doing what she is, we need to reassert those lines. And I'm not, you know, telling you to do anything mean or any rough training techniques, but this is really where I say she needs to get off of the bed, off of the furniture, and back on the floor.
Okay.
That physical distance in itself will make a huge difference once we reassert that to her, that, you know, this is where you're permitted and you're not permitted in these areas. Give her great beds, give her great sleeping areas, but she's not to be permitted high enough where she can be looking eye to eye with you in the bed.
Remember, if you have questions about anything you've heard on today's show, visit us over at animalradio.pet or download the Animal Radio app for iPhone, Android, and BlackBerry. All updated, all new. It is cool. It is free. And you actually look sexier with the app. Not a lot of people know that is one of the effects, but if you download it to your phone, you look sexier. Like, look, do I look sexier than I did before I downloaded it? Of course, you're saying. So there's so many reasons to download it, so do it now.
This is Animal Radio.
Hey, Eric and Rashi here, hosts of the CBS TV series Lucky Dog.
We're also the spokespeople for the 14th annual Get Your Licks on Route 66 Pet Adoption Tour, brought to you by Phyto Friendly Magazine.
The tour travels from Los Angeles to Chicago, stopping at shelters along the way to support adoption events.
Join us and show sponsor Chewy at the tour's kickoff event on Saturday, August 27th, where lots of great pets will be available for adoption.
To find out where the tour stops near you, log on to phytofriendly.com, and who knows, you just might find your new forever friend.
This is an Animal Radio News Update.
I'm Lori Brooks. For children who have type 1 diabetes and who want a pet, today is their lucky day. There's a new study out that shows pet ownership can have a beneficial effect on kids who are type 1 diabetics. How does this work? Well, the research was recently published in the journal The Diabetes Educator. Researchers say teenagers are one of the most difficult patient populations that they treat, mainly because of all of the psychosocial factors, you know, associated with growing up. Well, it turns out that associating diabetes self-care tasks with routine daily activities like taking care of that pet fish helps the kids to remember to do their own self-care and ultimately improves their glycemic control, and everybody's healthier. In many parts of the country, this summer's heavy rains have brought an increase in the number of mosquitoes. Well, of course, you know to protect yourself from mosquitoes and bugs, but don't forget about protecting your pets. Protecting dogs and cats from mosquitoes protects them from heartworm disease. And horses, if they're protected from mosquitoes, you're protecting them from West Nile virus. But there is a vaccine for horses. So now it's doubly important to make routine rounds of your yard, you know, looking for things that hold rainwater where mosquitoes breed. Remember, mosquitoes too can breed in less than a thimbleful of water. Northwoods Place, it's a senior living community in Michigan. It's home to 10 kittens now and, of course, the mother cat, and they're all part of their new pet therapy program, which is made possible with the help from their local animal shelter. It's a great combination working together to make happier days for seniors who don't really get out very much, if at all. The center's director says having kittens is especially wonderful for their center. She says they're little stress reducers and says that kittens help with any kind of depression or distracting patients from pain, too. And holding kittens, isn't this neat, helps the seniors with hand dexterity. So there's kind of a physical and emotional benefit to the program, too. But the program isn't just beneficial to the residents. It also helps to socialize the kittens in ways they wouldn't have had the time or resources to do back at the shelter. I'm Lori Brooks. Get more breaking animal news anytime at animalradio.com.
This has been an Animal Radio News Update. Get more at animalradio.com.
Dogs or cats, horse or emu, animals are people too.
What's going on at the movies? Usually you only have to deal with people talking on their cell phone, or maybe that person sitting behind you feels the need to explain the movie. But a Texas woman had an altogether different experience while watching a movie. She felt something crawling up her leg, and it was a bat. And it gets worse. The bat tested positive for rabies. The Texas Department of State Health said although the woman wasn't bitten, she may have to go through some post-exposure preventative treatment. A pest management company was called in to seal up any entry points to help keep out any future crawling or flying non-paying moviegoers. I'm Britt Savage for Animal Radio.
Animals are people too. Animal Radio.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Call the Dream Team now with the free Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
Dare I say that we are the sexiest team on radio? Is it wrong to say that? I would...
Sure you can say that because no one can see us.
You got to believe it.
You can be anything you want to be on the radio.
If you want to see just how sexy we are, you can go to the website and you can see how sexy.
I need a new photo.
Yeah.
Me too.
It is time for a Lucy Pet segment with Doc Halligan, and this week a topic that's near and dear to me, pet insurance, because I can go either way on this, and I'm waiting for her to either tip me one way or the other. I feel like, mm-hmm. Should I take some money and put it away, stock it away, or should I give it to the insurance companies? You, of course, mm-hmm. are in the middle of it because you're the one that has to accept the insurance.
Yes. Well, let me ask you a question. What do you feel about with your pets? Like, would you do anything you could to save their lives?
Damn straight.
Okay, well, there you go. Then you need to get insurance. I ask people that because, we have at Marina Vet where I work on Sundays, we have a grade when you come in or you leave your animal and it's do not resuscitate. I would spend up to $100 to resuscitate. I would spend any amount of money to resuscitate my animal.
Because everybody's different.
You have to circle that, right? So if your pets are like family and you would do anything you could to keep them alive or have them have quality of life, then you need to look into pet insurance because financial euthanasia isn't really an option for you guys. And, it sounds awful, but for some people, it is. They just be like, well, I love my dog or I love my cat. But, they circle do not resuscitate or up to $100.
Yeah. Because they can't afford it. Okay. Simple. It's a simple math for a lot of people.
I think it is.
Oh, I have pet insurance.
Joey, because his dogs,
yeah,
I know.
I have it on four dogs.
Yep.
And it's $160 a month.
Did you learn the hard way?
You know what? I'm not going to say we learned the hard way, but what we did was it was unexpected. I had a dog that came down with cancer. They were going to take the dog's front leg, and Doc turned me on to a great place in Manhattan. And after about almost $10,000 in surgeries, we said maybe it's time to look into pet insurance. And that was, I'm going to say, Doc, what was it, about 6-7 years ago at that time?
I think so.
And, we've been, I got to be honest with you, it's definitely paid off for me because we've used the pet insurance a number of times on all the dogs. And it's paid off. It's paid off. It keeps gives us peace of mind.
Is it like human insurance? Is it cheaper if you get it while your dog's a puppy instead of waiting till it's like 5-6 years old?
Well, there's a lot of different policies, okay? So, I mean, the premiums range anywhere from $10 to $100 a month, depending on what kind of coverage you want. I mean, you can get everything covered, shots and, you know, whatever, dewormings, annual exams, wow. Or you can get just for the emergencies. And what I usually tell pet owners to do is go add up for the last 5 years on each pet how much money you've spent on them. And then just see, you know what I'm saying? Get an idea, like, is this like a pet that gets into a lot of trouble or doesn't really have a lot of problems? And then you got to go get quotes, because not all insurance companies are the same. In fact, they're very, very different. Some are, I think, much better than others. There's a lot of companies out there that are trying to get your business.
Well, what should we look out for when we're shopping for insurance to stay away from those particular companies?
Yeah, what fine print?
Well, you want to make sure that the insurance company has been in business for at least a couple of years. You want to make sure that it's licensed in your state, because they're not all licensed in all of the states. So you got to check that your provider is licensed by the Department of Insurance, and that it's regulated in your state. Asking your vet and other pet owners, like, I want to hear who Joey is using, because that's like the best thing, is to talk to people who already have it, and, you know, what do they like about it? What don't they like? You have to be very careful reading the policy. Oh my gosh, they got the little fine print there. And people don't read everything. You know, some policies don't cover hereditary or congenital defects, and others will. It'll say only it'll cover this if your pet hasn't been on medication for that in the last 6 months.
Oh, so like pre-existing.
Exactly. So, okay. You know, the best thing is when you get a kitten or a puppy is to just get insurance. That's probably the cheapest way to get it, because at that point, usually they don't have any pre-existing conditions. Once they start getting older, it becomes pricier.
Do you hear any horror stories about insurance companies not paying?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. And they'll say, oh, well, if you read on page 60,
yeah.
You know, it says right there that we don't cover for dental and, you know, blah, 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 blah. And so, yes. Yeah. Oh, horror stories are still there.
Okay. So be careful. And what about just socking away money? Do you?
I don't know. I mean, I think.
Getting interest, you know, on it?
Well, do you ever sock it away? That's the problem.
No, so that's the thing is, and you know you're going to end up touching that for something else.
Yeah,
so.
I know. You're going to suck
you know
it away.
I mean?
You're going to suck it away until you get that big screen TV.
You're the jury, so you decide whether or not you're going to get pet insurance, but definitely read the fine print.
Go get a free quote, for gosh sake.
Get a free quote, but
yeah.
Even the cheapest place might not
ask
be that ethical.
Ask your friends and your vet what
okay,
they
here's
do.
What I learned. Pick a company that's been around for a while. And that,
yes.
I think that's good advice. Certain vets only take certain insurances?
Nowadays, most vets take any and all insurance because, you know, one thing I don't think people realize, do you know the cost of vet care? It's like astronomical. Who has that kind of disposable income?
I certainly don't.
Don't look at
yeah,
me.
Yeah, I mean.
None of us do. Okay. Pet insurance, check it out. More information about what we're talking about today over at animalradio.com. And be sure to check out the Lucy Pet Foundation at lucypetfoundation.org. Doc Halligan, thanks so much for joining us again.
Thank you for having me. And I loved being on the radio with Joey Villani.
Isn't he cool?
He's a cool guy.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Call the Dream Team now with the free Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
Hi, this is Dr. Paul on Incredible Radio. Is that what it is?
Animal Radio.
Okay, I'm sorry. Hello, this is Dr. Paul on Animal Radio. You know, take care of the pets and make sure that in these hot days that they get in lots of water, and don't tie them outside in the sun because then they get a heat stroke. So the pets are all part of your life, and make them welcome in your life. And once you do that, they will reward you with a lot of love.
Do you have a home that you don't want anymore? We can buy it from you within 24 hours, any home, size, or condition. For over 20 years, we've been buying homes for cash and helping homeowners sell their homes immediately with no listings or strangers walking through your home. Are you moving? Did you lose your job? Going through a divorce? Whatever the reason, if you're in a bind and you know that you need to sell your house fast, call the expert team at I Need to Sell My House Fast. We'll make you a serious cash offer to buy your home in 24 hours and let you walk away from it. No listing, no waiting. Sell any home, any size, any condition, now. Call the expert team at I Need to Sell My House Fast. Make this free call now.
800-478-6084. 800-478-6084. 800-478-6084. That's 800-478-6084.
Ladies and gentlemen, new listeners, to my left, I am bowing now and about to kiss the ring of the dog father, Joey Villani on Animal Radio. Sorry, a little slobbery there.
Anybody have a towel?
Sorry about that.
Yeah, and actually some, give me some sanitizing lotion here too.
What?
Well, you know what? I get a lot of calls. We talk about parasites a lot, fleas, ticks, and
ex-wives.
And I want to talk, I want to really talk more about ticks because a lot of people are, they're really afraid to deal with them and wonder how to take them off your pet and really what they need to do. So the first thing I'm going to say is they don't move quick at all, as if anyone has ever dealt with a tick. And they come out fairly easily, but you can't, it can't be for the squeamish, to be quite honest with you. If you're going to remove ticks from your dog, the first thing I'm going to say is if you don't have a tick remover, it almost looks like a plastic spoon with a V cut out on the spoon end. And what you basically do is you'll take that V and you'll put it down underneath at the lowest part of the tick near the skin, and it works like a seesaw, and you'll push down on the one end and it'll pop it straight up. Now, a lot of people, they've read and they've heard that if you go in with a tweezer, you can pull them out by twisting. And that's not true. Number one, the first and foremost thing that you want to do is you want to go down as close as you can to the skin, because the last thing you want to happen is the tick to break off where part of the tick is still underneath the skin, because it's quite possible your pet's going to develop an infection from that if it doesn't fester out. So if you're going to do it, grab it close to where the head of the tick is, where it's buried down into the skin. And you're just going to pull straight out. Now, you don't have to worry about the tick coming back and biting you. Like I said, this is very, very slow moving, but you do want to discard the tick. And what I say is just flush them, put them in a container of alcohol, and then throw them out. You just don't want to, you know, put them back outside, because then there's the chance, or in your garbage, chance of crawling back out and getting back on your pet, depending on what stage it's in. If you are uncomfortable about that, just go see a local groomer. They'll take them out. We take them out all the time. Matter of fact, it was so routine in New Jersey, I would pull them out with my fingers. You know, after a while, It's no big deal. All right, ticks, pull them out and send the pet on their way. The other thing is, if you notice any type of irritation or redness around the area, call your veterinarian, because you never know, you know, what possibly the tick could have had, or if it just is irritation, or if it's something a little bit more serious.
You know what they used to? They used to say, take a match or something hot, but you don't
I've
do that.
I've heard that. Heard that. I won't do it for a couple of reasons. Number one is I don't know if it works. Number two, it's too much of a chance of burning your dog. You know, it's funny because pets know what's going on, even though they say they really don't feel it. But as soon as you grab a tick, that, you know, usually the dog or cat turns their head right away and looks at you. So they know what's going on. So if I was going there with a lit match, a cigarette, a cigar, or something like that,
it's just a little too
dangerous.
If you do that, apparently the tick, before it releases, ejects all its juices into the body.
It vomits.
So, and if it has Lyme disease or whatever it might have, it actually goes into the body. So you don't want to do that.
Yeah, you know, it wasn't actually a lit match. What you do is you take a match and let it hot, and then you
blow
it out.
Yeah, I didn't mean a lit match.
Yeah, it's not.
Just something to freak the tick out, but that
well,
don't
I know
want them
if you
regurgitating
stuck a lit
it.
Match you stuck a lip match on my butt, I'd vomit too.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, there you go. Joey Volani.
My dad swears that Dawn dishwashing soap, and that you put it on clockwise or clockwise or counterclockwise, one way or the other, and that's supposed to back them out of you.
It's funny, it won't back them out, but it's a very good preventative. Before the tick is buried in the skin, and same thing with fleas, degreasers, especially Dawn dish detergent, because that's been proven safe to use occasionally on pets, will kill the fleas and will try to make ticks find a new host. But once they're buried, I don't know of anything that really could take them out. I mean, you could sit there and mess with them for an hour, and you know what, they're gonna stay there. So right. Usually once they're comfortable, they're there.
Okay, there you go. Joey Volani on Animal Radio.
Hey, we had something kind of cool at the clinic. I didn't do it, but one of my doctors did. It's kind of interesting.
What happened?
We had a tenric come in.
A tenric? What's a tenric?
A tenric. It was a pregnant tenric, which it kind of looks like a little hedgehog. But it actually is not related to a hedgehog at all. But they're really cool little creatures. They're actually kind of from the Madagascar area, I believe, is where they originate from. Mm-hmm. But we had a pregnant one, and she wasn't having the baby, so she needed a C-section.
Oh,
it was really cool.
I can't imagine that you guys are doing C-sections on Tenrics all the time. So how is it the same kind of organs inside? How do you do that?
Yeah, it's the same kind of organs, but, you know, here's a spiny creature that weighs less than a pound. And, you know, the risk of surviving this or the chance of surviving it was, you know, not all that high. And she actually came through wonderfully. The babies did not survive. They were actually, they had died. But we saved the life of the mom went on to be spayed, so she wouldn't have any more babies.
How many babies would they have?
They typically have a couple, so this one had two babies, and they're really cool. They're little insect-eating creatures, and this one specifically liked cockroaches. That was her favorite meal.
Okay.
Yeah, but really cool. I gotta say, I've seen a lot of hedgehogs, and I've been hissed at by a lot of hedgehogs, prickled by a lot of hedgehogs, and these guys were really sweet, very adorable, but spines all over, and they've got that little kind of like possum-like nose. It's really cute.
Oh, cute. Wow. She's showing us a picture that you...
I've never seen one.
Post one of those up at the website.
Yeah. No, we need to write.
Let's see. I think it's time for us to get on out of here to go walk our Tenrics. Is that what you call it? Tenrics?
Tenrics, yeah.
Tenrics, dogs, iguanas, whatever you have. Take them out. Spend some time with them, because that's the best present you can give your animals is your time.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye, everyone.
This is Animal Radio Network.